Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Cody Thompson. How you doing, Cody?
Doing great, Pat. Little sleep deprived. So if I normally when I stumble over my words, it's I have no excuse. This time I have a real excuse.
Sleep deprived, new baby. All right. It's good to have you here. We've got Tracy downstairs too. How you doing, Tracy?
Hello, I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Good. I am excited. This is a really important podcast. We're going to be talking about something really critical and essential to everything we do at the Table Group. And it kind of got provoked by a guest we had on our last podcast, a 16-year-old gentleman named Lucas Lunsman from Nebraska, who talked about being young and wanting to be a great leader. And we talked about humility. And we told him that that was going to be the subject of our next podcast. So Cody, the title of this podcast is?
The Danger of Humility.
Yeah, most people don't think of humility as being dangerous. And what we mean by that is this. That word humility is used more and more these days and has been for the past number of years, and rightly so, because it's the first of all virtues, precisely because it's actually the antidote for the root of all sin, which is pride. And for us at the Table Group, it's the foundation of everything we teach around leadership and teamwork and organizational health. The problem is, and there is a problem, like anything else that's really, really powerful, if it's used in the wrong way or for the wrong purpose, it can be extremely dangerous. It's like nuclear fission or dynamite, has many important purposes, but if it's used poorly, it can turn out really bad. And that's why we need to really understand what humility is and isn't, and then embrace it completely. And that's what we're going to talk about here today.
Yeah, and I think it's particularly relevant now, Pat, as we talked about this podcast. I don't know that there's ever been a time in history where pride is more celebrated and there are fewer examples of true humility than right now.
Right. And so, true humility.
And I think exactly what we're attempting to do, and by no means are we philosophers or, you know, the end all on the subject, but recognizing that people need a firm understanding of what it means to be truly humble, both in leadership in terms of running companies, but in our homes and our personal lives, and so that we can celebrate the right things and hold them up as actual virtuous things.
Absolutely. So I can't wait to talk about this. Before we do, I want to have a really, really quick commercial, if you will, for something that we're doing at the Table Group called Kappa Pro. A number of our listeners, we've talked about Kappa Pro a few times in the last few podcasts, and a number of our listeners have signed up, and we're very excited about it. We were just downstairs here in our Innovation Center at the Table Group planning the first 90 days of this. Kappa Pro, by the way, is a membership network of consultants and practitioners, either independent consultants or HR professionals, or even managers and leaders of small to medium-sized companies that want to learn all about organizational health to make their clients or their organizations better. And it's like an everyday MBA, we call it. It's like getting a graduate degree in organizational life. And it's so valuable. And we're going to be pouring out to people that take part in this. It starts September 2nd. We're having a huge kickoff event. And we want as many people as possible to join. It's going to be $8,500 a year. That's like the tuition. There's nothing else to pay for in terms of monthly fees or anything like that. We're launching into this. We're very excited about it. A number of our listeners have already signed up. So we just want everybody to know, if you're interested, give us a call at 925-299-9700 or go to kappapro@tablegroup.com and let us know. Our website, tablegroup.com, you can also find information there. Is that what you were going to tell me, Tracy?
Yeah, it's actually tablegroup.com/kappapro.
Fantastic. The other ones, we are so excited. People are signing up. And starting September 2nd, I'm going to be extremely involved in this. We're going to be teaching people around the world all about organizational health and how to bring it into their clients' organizations and into their own organizations. So
I will say this, Pat. Since I joined the Table Group, probably the email I got most is, or LinkedIn message or Twitter message is, how do we do what you do? How do I do what you guys do with my company or my team or the clients that I serve? This is the answer to that. Kappa Pro is the answer to how do you do what the Table Group does with clients.
That's right. Very good. So that's something we want to tell people about. Now let's talk about humility. You know, Cody, I talked about before how humility is the antidote to pride. And there are so many great quotes about humility. I mean, the Bible is full of them. You know, I think about it in the Old Testament, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. That's from Proverbs thousands of years ago. And then, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Humility is all over the Bible and all over great quotes in the world.
Right. We kind of did this once before, but we looked up some quotes before this. And like in every era, there's so many thinkers and so many people that embrace this simple but powerful concept. And it's just amazing to the culmination of all that work. Still, we don't have, or collectively, a really clear picture of what humility is. But over and over again, some of the best thinkers in the world try to go there and say, hey, what does this mean? And why is it so important?
And you know what? One of the things I like is that humility isn't some false sense of lack of confidence. Mm-hmm. St. Vincent de Paul said, it's nothing but truth, whereas pride is nothing but lying. And I think that's what's so great about it. People are like, well, how do I be humble? It's like, be true.
Right.
Be true. Know what you're good at. Saying what you're good at is humble. Know what you're not good at. Admitting what you're not good at, that's humble. You don't have to put on airs or be phony. In fact, that is a great way to violate humility.
That's right. And you talk about this a lot, or have in the Ideal Team Player and other times where humility's come into our methodology. But there's two violations. One is pride. That's the most obvious one, right?
Outlandishly braggy.
Right. And the other one is the self-deprecation, not really valuing the God-given skills and talents that you bring to the table. And so that's why I love that St. Vincent de Paul quote, is it's like, whatever is true is humble. Whatever is not true, even if it's you demeaning yourself, is lying. It's really about embracing what is totally true about yourself and being okay with that and being upfront about it.
Exactly. Michael Jordan saying, oh, I wasn't a very good basketball player. That's not humble.
Right.
Me saying I'm a world-class basketball player, that's not humble.
Well, and if you violate anything, you often refer to yourself as an average writer. And I'm like, no, Pat, you're violating humility there. But we all do this. I mean, that's the temptation, is it's pretty rare to be directly in the middle in terms of like the truth. Like sometimes we exaggerate the truth and sometimes we under-exaggerate it. And so being truly humble and fully embracing what it is that is true about you, this is where it spills into leadership and into your family and who you are as a person, that you can't do some of the things that we've talked about on this podcast without actually being a humble person.
That's right. And you know, so the thing we want to ascribe to, or we want to become, is truly humble. I remember once, I'm a follower of Jesus, somebody said, imagine how attractive he was and is because he's humble. And think about the people you know, how attractive they are because they're just so true and they're not braggy, they're not fake. And so that's my favorite kind of person in the world, is the truly humble leader or the truly humble team player.
Right.
But my second favorite, this is going to be strange, there's three kinds of people. And my second favorite is the person who doesn't have humility, but they know it and I know it and they admit it. In other words, I would prefer a braggy, non-humble, arrogant person who's upfront about that to the third kind of person, which is the person who lacks humility, but fakes it, and they know how to fake it.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the ultimately dangerous person. And that's why we talked about the danger of humility, because in the world today, everybody's talking about it. So too many people are smart enough to learn how to fake it or to pretend they're humble, and they fool people, and they are the most dangerous kind of leader or teammate of all.
Well, and that's what makes this podcast so important. We were just talking about like how important this topic is in the context of the time that we're covering it. And that is because there's so many examples of false humility out there. And in fact, even as we were preparing for this podcast, we tried to go out and find some public stories of more humble leaders or stories where people embraced humility over pride. They're almost impossible to find because that doesn't sell right now.
I mean, in fact, we saw something this weekend. Cody, you and I both watched it. I didn't know you were watching it. Tracy, Greg watched it too, right?
Yes, he sure did.
Your husband's what? So the PGA Championship was played this weekend. It was played here in San Francisco. No fans went. It was this really quiet championship, and it was fascinating golf. And here's the setup. The two guys at the top of the leaderboard was a 23-year-old kid, a very sweet, humble kid, I think, who ended up winning, Colin
Morikawa.
Morikawa. and he was great. And then he was competing with this guy, Paul Casey, an Englishman who was 43 years old, 20 years older. And he has played in more major championships without winning than anyone on the tour. Right. And I was kind of rooting for them both for different reasons. And they interviewed Paul Casey after the tournament, right afterward, when it was clear he wasn't going to win. And here's a guy who just misses out. This other guy, Colin, makes an amazing shot at the end. And this woman is interviewing him after. And Cody, you and I were just blown away by the total humility that he showed.
Absolutely. He was so honest and upfront and sincere. And he was like, I played great golf, you know? And he's like, but this kid, Colin, he hit some incredible shots down the stretch. He deserves it. You know, there was no contempt or animosity. It was all just, he played his best and he knew that this other guy outperformed him. It was this amazing interview. We both remarked about it afterwards. It was amazing.
Right. I was so glad that you saw it. And he had a smile on his face and they said, what did you think? He hit this amazing shot and got an eagle on, like, this is like one of the most amazing shots and holes in professional golf masters, you know, in the majors history. And they said, what did you think when he hit that shot? Because he saw it. And he goes, I thought, that's a great shot.
Yeah.
Man, that's so cool that they have holes where you can do that here. And he did a great job. He was smiling. He was genuinely like enjoying this other kid's great golf.
Yeah.
And yet he also said, I played really great, but he just played better. And then he goes, and by the way, I played with this guy, Brooks Koepka, who is such a gentleman. And yeah, he made the day so great for me. I really appreciate playing with a gentleman like that. And I thought, this guy, this should be on the news.
Yeah.
Like, this is what it looks like when you lose a major championship and you deal with it well. And yet we couldn't even find it on the internet. We wanted to play it on this podcast. We could not find a clip of that interview.
Totally. It's amazing. I thought for sure, oh, this will be on there. This is incredible. We looked for 25 minutes, three of us, and couldn't find even, we found a one snippet of in text that just didn't do it justice. But I think there is two takeaways for me in that. And that is, one, exactly what we've been saying, is that there's not enough examples of this out there. There's not enough celebrations, public celebrations of people who are truly humble. But the second thing is, what I noticed, even as you were talking about the interview, when you are truly humble and when you know exactly what your gifts and talents are, it's so easy for you to celebrate other people's gifts and talents. You know, it's like he was so thrilled to be able to celebrate Colin's victory. Whereas when pride creeps in, all you want to do is totem pole yourself, try to find yourself at the top and other people at the bottom. He was so sincere to be able to say, he played great golf. I did my best and it wasn't good enough today.
You know, I remember years ago, I heard this great quote that said, humility is being able to like walk by a cathedral and look at it and take pride in it as though you actually built it.
Hmm.
Which I thought was strange, but it's like, instead of looking at something and saying, man, I couldn't have done that, you go, that's okay. Somebody else did. That is awesome.
Right. We talked about leading up to this, trying to think of examples of people that we know in the spheres that we run in terms of like the leaders of companies. And what's so sad is that the best, most humble leaders, most people, the general public, are not even aware of. You know, every CEO and every leader that we can put a face to and a name to are not ones that are truly embracing humility. And so we have all these bad examples out there and we were racking our brains like, what sort of stories can we tell to make this hit home about how important it is as a leader of a company or a leader of a team or a leader of your household or even a human being to be truly humble? And it was kind of alarming to not be able to find a famous leader that we could point to tell a story about.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is we could, but people would not know who they were.
Right,
and
right.
Like if I were to walk down the street and do one of those people on the street interviews, hell, I could probably do it on Wall Street and ask people, hey, who's the CEO of Southwest Airlines? Most people wouldn't even know his name.
Right.
Now, and this is one of the most successful companies in American history, certainly in the last 50 years. And this guy is an extraordinary CEO. If he walked in and delivered pizza to your house, you wouldn't know who he was. And we contrasted that. We don't want to be cruel, but we contrasted that with Elon Musk, who's doing some interesting things, but he's a self-promoter and he likes the limelight and everybody knows who he is.
Right.
And yet they're not making a profit yet. You know, it's still a niche in the market. It's a cool car and everything, but there are leaders in the world. I mean, we always like to talk about Alan Mulally, who turned Ford around and saved maybe the industry and did it without taking, like, it was just extraordinary. And most of the people we know don't know what he looks like. And quite a few don't know his name.
Well, and here's an anecdote just to make this real, because it's not a theoretical thing. It's like, Alan Mulally really is a humble person. That's probably, and in part, that's why you don't recognize his name or his identity. But we had him at a conference that we hosted the last couple of years. He walked in. So he's probably like the keynote headliner of anyone who's in the business industry, knowing what he did at Ford and Boeing, the turnaround in the midst of that downturn in the economy, one of the greatest stories in American business. He comes in the day before, we're talking to him, and he walks into the back of our auditorium where we're going to have our whole conference. And he goes to the AV guys that are just sitting back there making sure all the sound and video stuff is working. And he starts giving them this, I'm standing behind him. He's like, you guys are the most important people in this room. Like everything that's going on here, you guys are in charge of. I mean, do you understand? And he went and honored them and gave them the time of day that probably—
and he didn't do it on stage.
No. And no one would
do it so he could look good.
Right. So it's examples like that that we just don't get. It's like that and the Paul Casey interview, they're not heralded on the news. You don't get to find them online. And that's what a example of a true leader, humble leader looks like.
Well, I can't believe I'm going to admit this, but I can't remember this guy's name, the CEO of the MD Anderson Cancer Centers down in Houston.
Peter Pisters. Peter Pisters.
Peter Pisters. Okay, yeah. Thank you. And the fact that I didn't recall his name speaks to this. But this guy runs one of the most important and successful and cutting edge hospitals in the country. And it's not just a hospital, it's a complex. It's like a little mini city. And he was telling us that he likes to go in at night on the swing shift and go in and talk to people and just see what they think of the organization and what it's like to work there and how they're doing and thank them. And people don't know who he is when he does it usually. And that's fine with him.
And when we says talk to people, he's talking about like janitorial staff and security guards and night nurses. You know, he's not talking to like the head of surgery or anything like that. It's just incredible that there are all these examples that you'd never hear of. I remember another conversation, just to drive this point home, you and I had with a CEO by the name of John, who's in charge of the Canopy Children's Hospital. He got the job and basically wanted to do organizational health. He believed in the advantage and the process and the advantage. When he described to us the story of him turning around the executive team at Canopy Children's, he had tears in his eyes. I still remember the feeling that I had when he talked about his staff, how much he cared for them and what they were doing in the world. No one will know his name, or not very few people.
Right.
That made an impression on me. I think I actually walked away from our first unconference with one takeaway, and that was all the best leaders of the companies that came there were humble. That was my number one takeaway. And it really, I actually wrote in my journal that week about like, I need to embrace this more. It affected me in a way that being in a room with people had not in a long time.
That's right. You know, it's interesting. And there's a lot of leaders who aren't humble who kind of go with that. And there's some famous companies. It seems like most of them in high tech. Mm. And their leaders are pretty arrogant and they're out there about that. But I think the biggest group of leaders in the world are the ones that are not humble, but they're trying to pretend to be. Hmm. And what they need to do is they really should just go all in on humility or just stop trying to fake it and be who they are. Because I think that a lack of authenticity is really the problem. I mean, I worked at a company, I won't say the name of it, but the leader wasn't humble. It was very successful. It still is today. It wasn't really a good place for me to work. But there was something almost, there was kind of a weird kind of integrity that the CEO was kind of braggadocious and kind of cocky and everything else. And so I think people knew what they were getting into. Mm-hmm. I also remember working at companies where leaders would talk about things like all humble, and then you'd see them do things that were all about them. Tracy, remember that one leader that we worked with that would get up in front of everybody and say, hey, we're all in this together. Nobody's more important. And then he'd be spending money during a crisis on making his office bigger and getting new office furniture. And we were like, oh, that's worse.
Oh, it's cringeworthy. And everyone saw it. Yet he stood up there and pretended like he was Mr. Humility.
Yeah, he was like... And he was kind of a politician more than he was a business leader.
Yes.
And you always get found out.
One of the reasons that we felt like this topic was so important is that there are so many examples of what you just described, Pat, that is now becoming the archetype. It feels like, you know, the founder / CEO who's like this sort of interesting, eccentric thinker, and they've had three or four successful companies, you know, or that archetype, that sort of pattern has worked three or four more times. And it feels like more and more companies out there are thinking, oh, we need to get us one of those leaders. You know, like we need the person who's sort of arrogant and doesn't care what people think and just charges ahead. And it's doing such a disservice to all the people that work in those organizations and to the people that see that in the news, the kids that like Lucas who are growing up and saying, what is it that I need to do to be a good leader? And it's sending the wrong message over and over and over again.
My sons just graduated from college and they took entrepreneur classes and they brought in these people from the Silicon Valley to talk about their, and a lot of them just bragged. And it was such a turnoff. And I think we need to realize that we're doing nobody a service by holding these people up. And many of them hadn't accomplished very much, so they really had no reason to brag. But we have this idea that's what, and I think that's because of all the Facebooks and the Twitters and all this stuff that goes on out there, that we've come to accept it and allow it.
Right.
And seeking fame and fortune for its own sake rather than serving the organization and your customers is a pretty bad example. And we've really got to speak out against that.
Yeah. So Pat, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot. I don't think you know I'm going to ask you this, but we had talked about sort of this concept of like the humility revolution. We were like, man, if all we could do is like the 12 to 15,000 people that are going to hear this podcast, if we could spark them in towards humility in some way or another, that would be wonderful. So here's what I'd ask you is like, so I'm a person listening to this and I'm one of two people. Either I'm working at a company where I know my CEO is not humble and I see it. What do I do? Or I'm one of the people that you described at the beginning of the podcast who is kind of faking it a little bit. What advice do you have for me so that I can embrace humility more?
Wow. Yeah, you do put me on the spot. I think the first thing is go to the people nearest you and tell them, I am convicted about this. I want to be humble. I know I'm not sometimes, and I need someone to call me on it. And start practicing humility around the people that are closest to you. Don't go on stage
right. And
try to prove it. That by its very nature violates it. So ask the people around you, like, am I being humble? And if I'm not, I'm going to reward you for telling me because I really don't want to do that anymore. Either that or say, you know something? I would rather have them not be humble and stop faking it than I would them fake it. So I think it's about being more authentic, and then through that authenticity, embracing humility. So, boy, and that's why I said, I don't know how I could be a leader without a wife and kids who tell me the truth, because they could give a crap about if I wrote a good book or not. If I'm saying something that's not right or not true, or I look stupid or I say something wrong, there's something about children and spouses that will tell you that.
You know? They humble you for yourself, right?
Right. And I do meet some leaders who don't have close family life, and I just think, so who is the person who tells you the truth? And a lot of them don't have one.
Right.
And so that's a critical thing. So I would probably just say, surround yourself by people that will do that, and then gradually expand that circle of truth tellers, if you will. You know, Cody, there's another example. I think for young people, the world of sports really makes excuses for or even promotes people that aren't humble. And you know, I think about in basketball, you know, there was that movie that was on during COVID about Michael Jordan and the Last Dance or something like that.
Oh yeah.
And everybody says, is it Jordan or is it LeBron or this or somebody else? And then you and I were talking the other day. There is a player that should definitely be discussed in this. And he is so humble and he always has been. It's one of the reasons why I love him. He played, I don't know how many years he played. I think they won like 6 championships in 12 years or 5 in 12 years or something. It's crazy. His team was terrible before he got there. They built an organization around this guy. And people are probably sitting there right now that follow basketball. Who are you talking about? And it's Tim Duncan.
Right. For the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah. He was born in the Virgin Islands. He went and played at Wake Forest. And he was one of the most humble, influential players. But he never talked about himself, never bragged, never liked the microphone. And so he's not even in the conversation. And you could make an argument that he is the greatest basketball player of all time.
Yeah, you could definitely make the case. And what's crazy too is even the way he handled his retirement, you almost didn't hear about it. He did it after the season was over in the middle of the summer and just didn't come back. And it was kind of quiet and he went on to do a podcast here or there, but you didn't really hear about it. I mean, he is the epitome of like an incredible, insanely talented basketball player who did not think that getting his own limelight was important to him and made, you like you said, you can make a case that he's one of the best that's ever played the game.
Yeah. And he didn't say, oh, I'm not that good. He was a great basketball player. I just don't think he thinks he's a king of anything.
Right, right.
And that's one of the things today, I think we hold people up that are good at one thing and decide they're more important in everything.
Right.
Which is very dangerous.
I love your advice, Pat, because I think that there's one small thing here. It's like those three people you mentioned, it's the people that, the person that's truly humble, right? And that's the best. And if you can just embrace what your limitations and your abilities are, that's wonderful. The person that is not humble, but upfront about it, knows that they're like, hey, listen, I know I'm a little braggy. I kind of wish I wasn't like that. It's hard for me. And then the third person is the person who's not humble and tries to hide it or fake it. Now, most of the people that hear this can go from jump one level, right? They can go, and I think it's the people in the third spot. The difference between you and the next person is just authenticity. Being able to go to a close friend and say, hey, you know what? This is hard for me. I wish it wasn't, but it is. And can you help me with this?
Yeah. And if you see me faking it, that's the thing. I think it's really a service. It's almost more dangerous to call a faker out than it is a braggy person out.
Right. Right.
Like my sons bring kids home all the time. Our house, I love it. We have these boys from age 14 to 18 rolling through our house, and I get to talk to them about everything, sports and life and everything. And like there's a few kids that come by that are kind of rude, but they're like that way to everybody. And there's some that are nice to me, but not to their friends and not right. to others. I much prefer the rude kid because I can go, hey, and I've actually said to kids, hey, you know, you need to be more humble. That's going to make your life better. The other ones, it's harder. It's yeah. really uncomfortable to go to a kid and go, hey, stop being so nice because I know you don't mean it.
Right. That's good. That's
so
good.
Anyway, it kind of brings that lesson home. Tracy, why do you think that humility is such a hard thing for us to find in business and in society these days?
I would say mostly it's countercultural. You know, it gets a lot of lip service, but I think it's still countercultural.
Yeah, it doesn't sell. It doesn't sell. And so
no, exactly. Humility does not sell at all.
And it's the true essence of it, you know, like, because there's so many, what does sell is the $100 million donations that's public or whatever that feigns humility or those sort of things. But it's those moments like Peter Pister's at night, you know, talking to the night staff and Al Mulally talking to the AV crew. It's those sort of things that we'll never hear about. And I think that's the next challenge, is like, make a step right in that direction, but two, find examples of humility to hold up and celebrate in your families and in your teams and in your companies.
Yeah. Catch people being humble. Now, granted, and let them know that there's no reason for them to be afraid of that, because it's okay to go, yeah, I am who I am. I'm good at some things. I'm not good at other things. And that's who I am. So let's be purveyors of humility and catch people doing it and change the world that way. That's what this is all about. So I think that brings us to the end of today's podcast. I hope people enjoy it. This is such an important topic. Talk to your kids about it. Talk to your neighbors, your friends. This is beyond business, but it certainly lives in the world of organizations and leadership too. All right, Tracy, thank you for keeping us organized here. Cody, it's good to see you. We're going to have you live next week, I think. And to everyone else, until we see you next week, take care. God bless.